Houston.com.
Welcome to this version of America Tonight, post Super Tuesday. We're doing the quarterbacking thing and looking at what happened. No big massacre, really, for Mitt Romney. Although Romney, numerically, still looks like the guy who's the shoo-in to be the candidate for the Republicans to run against Obama in November. Kate Delaney is always happy to be at the helm of this ship as we navigate through some pretty interesting times, my friends. And in this hour, we're going to look at a couple of different things, including we've got a sports shorts for you. You know, London is getting closer to the time when they've got to have things ready to roll for the Olympics. Well, what about the history of the Olympics, the pleasure of hosting the Olympic Games? Even in the beginning, it was tough to come up with the money. I'll just give you a hint. As Greece then was struggling to put on the Games, and thanks to a wealthy businessman, they were able to do it. Also, speaking of wealthy, Peyton Manning had a big chunky bonus coming his way if he stayed with the Colts, $28 million. And Peyton Manning is no longer a Colt. Makes it one of the more intriguing things to happen in the NFL in a long time, because he has to be the most sought-after free agent, depending on throwing, depending on what Manning is perceived to have left with all of the problems he had with the neck injury and being out last season for Indianapolis. But it's a great storyline. Speaking of storylines, it really was billed as the battle of Rick Santorum and Mitt Romney, especially when it came down to Ohio. Heading into Super Tuesday, that was a lot of the conversation. Statistically, in all the polls, they were at a dead heat. So what happened is right now Romney pulls ahead by a little bit in Ohio. Santorum, early on Tuesday, took Tennessee, Oklahoma, and North Dakota. Remember, this is a really jiggy way that they do it. It's not standardized with who gets what delegates and who can even vote in some of these primaries. And then you've got a caucus or two thrown in. Romney picks up Massachusetts, not a surprise, Virginia and Vermont and Ohio, looking pretty good for Ohio. He's already just marked November 6th on his calendar, and he talked about it a little bit. He talked about a lot of things as he was trying to amp up the crowd. There were certainly pro-Romney stacked in his home state, where he was talking about being home and all that kind of stuff. And here's some of the other things he had to say.
We're doing some counting. We're counting up the delegates for the convention, and it looks good. And we're counting down the days until November, and that looks even better. What a great night. There are three states now tonight under our belt and counting. We're going to get more before this night is over. We're on our way. I'm not going to let you down. I'm going to get this nomination. Tonight, we've taken one more step towards restoring the promise of tomorrow. Tomorrow we wake up and we start again. And the next day, we'll do the same. And so we'll go day by day, step by step, door by door, heart to heart.
You love that, door by door. Well, he better send out the whole Romney clan if he's going to go door by door. Does it really sound like we're going to have Romney as president, though? Does that roll off your tongue, President Romney, President Mitt Romney? I think that the Republicans, in looking at this, can't declare a winner, even though statistically he may have the edge. Plus the other three candidates, including Ron Paul, who hasn't won a contest, he's staying in this thing. So you got all four going the distance, most likely, at least until probably June. And you have some other big primaries coming up. So what did Super Tuesday really turn out to be? Was it more like a super fizzle? Disappointing? Perhaps for a lot of people, I think, in the Republican establishment who wanted this to end the whole thing. Let's just pick one guy. Let's prop him up. Let's start to pump out the ads. And let's focus on November. I really think that would ultimately be the wish of the RNC, certainly, and anybody who is a would-be kingmaker, whether it be somebody on the conservative side of the Republican Party or somebody on the evangelical side or even a more moderate Republican. It doesn't matter. They'd rather, I think, narrow the field as much as possible. So in handicapping it, you look at the chances. I mean, what are the chances if everyone really sticks this out? Really, what are the statistical chances for Ron Santorum at this point, or Rick Santorum, what are the statistical possibilities? And I did a little mathematic analysis of this. Now, I was never great at math in the early years. Now, I'm all about math and figuring things out business-wise, because we've talked about that before on the show. If I'm going to stand at the craps table with whatever money I have, then I am going to know everything that I could possibly know about what's happening. So statistics, I get it. And my analysis, the chart that I ran, came up with 10% for Rick Santorum, a 10% opening for Rick Santorum to actually, at this point, to get the Republican nomination. You want to know what it is for Mitt Romney? For Mitt Romney, it is a whopping 85%. So you can take all those polls and stack them up. That's the numbers that I have. Dramatically, what would have to happen for things to turn around? Romney would have to lose every other state. It's not happening. These are delegates that we're talking about. So how does that make you feel if you don't like the current occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? Or you could be a Republican, you could be an independent, you could be a Democrat. It doesn't matter, but are you looking at the alternatives and saying, Obama might not be the guy that I want in there, but I can't see the other side of this. You know, or maybe you're saying the opposite. Hey, he's not who I would have picked, but I wanted Chris Christie or I wanted somebody else that was being floated out there, but I'm not voting Democratic no matter what. I'm not going to vote for Barack Obama. These are the kinds of conversations that are going on across America. I like to say on America Tonight, we hope we're really creating that buzz, and that is the buzz in the backyard. Let me throw out the digits, 800-259-5791. Real excited in 20 minutes from now, we're going to talk to a former Republican strategist who worked for Bush 41, speech writing, doing a bunch of other stuff, was right there when Bush lost to Clinton as he tried to repeat, if you remember. And she talks about some inside stuff of what happened and what it was like and what the whole process, what that campaign was like after Barbara Bush, the former first lady, said this is the worst campaigning she's seen. She endorsed Mitt Romney, but said what she's seeing from the Republicans or what she's seeing on this campaign, this go-around, is some just ugly, ugly stuff. And we talk about what was it like during that Bush 41 White House and that second run. What kind of things were happening? And you know what? It was just as ugly. It was just as ugly. Stay with us. We're going to break down more of Super Tuesday, plus a few other odds and ends.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw for the enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk, soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally. Instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer. Localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? ExtendoVite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, ExtendoVite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
2, 3, woohoo! 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 Woohoo!
Well, my heart knows it better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let it do all the talking.
Woohoo! Woohoo!
Because a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree.
All right, we're back at it here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Howdy, everybody. Little mix of what happened on Super Tuesday, statistical chances of everybody else. It might not be what you want to hear, though. So it's like I said in a previous hour, if you could just, I mean, play the game, blue sky it for me, if you could pick ultimately who you would rather see get the Republican nod or who you would rather see be president, who you'd rather see run, just jump into the race. I think there are a lot of good people that are actually on both sides of the aisle that don't get involved, that don't run, that probably could do some good work if they ultimately ended up with a big prize, grabbing the brass ring and getting it to into 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. But they don't want it. They're throwing it down. Forget it. I don't want this ring. I don't want to go through this nonsense. Forget about it. Let's reach out to Robin in Massachusetts. Hello, Robin.
Hi, Kate. You know who I like to see put in there? Condoleezza Rice.
Condi Rice. But do you think is she electable?
I would hope at some point there would be a woman, but if you're going to put somebody there, I mean, she's just such a great diplomat. She's just not one of these people that I think demands respect, but she gets it. She's well-spoken, and I just think that, you know, I could see her standing there. You know, and she wouldn't be, how could I say this, too overpowering like someone else might have been. And she might have not been too airheaded or too, I don't know how to say it.
Oh, well, no. You're saying that academically she would stand up, her credentials would stand up, and she would have a way of playing nice. She would be more diplomatic in her approach.
Yes, but then she wouldn't be too effeminate as a pushover. I mean, she'd stand her ground. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
I thought she would be good.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'd see the day, but that we'd have a woman president, but...
I don't know, Robin. You look at other countries, and I'm not so sure we see that happen. But I don't say I would blame it on all the men across the country. I think you just have to have the right candidate. You have to be the right person to crack the mold. I mean, to be the first one in the gate. And you're not the only one who thinks that she would be the person. I said that Colin Powell was a possibility. Somebody said to me the 1-2 punch would be Colin Powell and Condi Rice, but I don't think she would go on the undercard. I think she would, if she was going to do it, then she would probably just run for president. Robin, thanks for the call. Keep listening to the show.
All righty. Have a good night. Thank you.
You too. Let's go to Sam in Montreal. Hey, Sam.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I want to throw this in. Highlight pointed out that, and it's true, because we've had this discussion before, that Condi Rice has never run for public office.
And I don't think she's, with all due respect, I don't think she's president. I don't think she should automatically, it's like, okay, I'll put it into a, sorry to bring in hockey, it's like playing peewee, and all of a sudden you're playing in the NHL. I mean, what I think she should do, if she's really, I mean, it's just talk, is start being a, maybe just being a local, maybe a state senator, and then work her way up.
I don't think she's even interested. I think if she had her druthers, that honestly, she had a chance, what she would do is become the first female NFL commissioner. People have talked about that before, and if Roger Goodell, he's young, though, I don't think he steps away anytime soon. He just got a contract extension, but her name has been mentioned as a possibility. She's not going back into politics, no way.
Well, what's she doing right now? Do you have an idea?
She's giving speeches. She's every once in a while she'll come on talk shows and stuff and talk about different things, whether it's foreign affairs because she was Secretary of State or what's happening. Not so much with the election. She doesn't dive into that too much, but she talks about other things. So mostly that's what Condi's doing, a lot of speaking.
You know what? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Stick to what you're good at. And, maybe she should write a book, and maybe some college will eventually hire to maybe do, be a poli-sci, teach poli-sci. So, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. She's comfortable doing that. Hey, great. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Stick to what you know and what you like. Right. I don't think that, I don't know. I don't think that, I'm not saying that she would never jump in. It's just that I've heard that she's not really interested, that she said she, like what you said, she likes what she's done. And academically, she was involved in Stanford. She had a high position there. So she's gone that route before.
Good football team and Condoleezza Rice. What else could, what else could you do at that school?
Yeah.
Okay, now let's announce for Super Tuesday. Since my favorite person who I wanted to win obviously hasn't, Ron Paul.
Right.
You think he's going to hang him up?
No. I think Ron Paul, this is kind of like the last hurrah. He's enjoying doing this run, going out, talking to the crowds. I think he stays in this, and he has a stake. He has a seat at the table when everything goes to Tampa, the Republican convention. I think he has a little stake here, and he's going to claim it. But he stays in this to the end. He stays into the end. I think if anyone's going to dump right now, I would have said heading into tonight. But Georgia would have been Gingrich. But if Gingrich raises enough money, he stays in it too. All of them stay in it.
Now, what I'm thinking, if Romney wins in November, will he ask either Gingrich or Paul to be in his cabinet?
Oh, no way. And first of all, Ron Paul, he would never take the undercard. Never. He would never want to be vice president. Because then you don't have a say, really. It's the old joke about who's the vice president. He's just waiting in the wings in case something catastrophic happens. And he's off in some country that he can't even pronounce the name of it, meeting with some officials that nobody knows.
Okay. Until he put his name in the hat, his hat in the ring, I never heard of Ron Paul. But now, I've heard him. I heard him on Jay Leno. I've heard him speak. I've got a lot of respect for this guy.
Yes, I like a lot of what he has to say. I mean, he tells it like it is. The problem is when you've got a group of people who are really controlling the purse strings or controlling a lot of what's happening in the government, they don't want to give up that control. Who wants to give up that control? They're on Easy Street. So they know. If you have the power, it's about that, you know, power. I think power corrupts. I think absolute power corrupts, and that's always the danger. But once you're in that position, you're calling the shots. That's the thing. You spelled it out.
Right. Oh, and I spoke to Steve today.
What does he say about what people are saying in Israel?
Well, basically, some of them are saying, Barack, put your money, put your money where your mouth is?
Mm-hmm.
Put your money where your mouth is. If you've got our back, prove it. Because I think the saying was, I've got your back. I think that's what he said to Prime Minister Netanyahu. And some of Steve's friends are saying, prove it. And some of his other friends are saying, I agree, let's wait. Because what Benjamin said, this could be another Holocaust.
Yeah.
I've heard some people saying that if Ahmadinejad does, it could be the beginning of even World War III.
Yeah, I've heard that before. And, you know, this is what President Obama says is loose talk, and that there needs to be diplomacy and not going after Iran.
And I think that if Ahmadinejad has half a brain, which is saying a lot, he won't try and aim a missile at Israel, because if one Muslim holy site is destroyed, all the Muslim clerics are going to be on his butt. So that's why I don't think he has the chutzpah. I was going to say something else.
Does he have the chutzpah? That's an interesting word to use, by the way. to actually go ahead and do that.
Right.
I think that if he's got the blessing of Russia and China, that kind of changes the game a little bit. And that's one thing that we don't have at this point in slapping the wrist and really kicking it to them. There's no backing of Russia or China, and that's big. That's a missing link, to be sure. All right, more politics. We're going to go inside the Bush White House 41 and talk a little bit about Super Tuesday. By the way, Mitt Romney has definitely bagged half of Super Tuesday's delegates. He picked up Idaho, Vermont, Virginia, Massachusetts, and it looks like Ohio.
Sure, there are winter specials, and then there are super winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Battle through this cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters like Elderberry Power, Orgicillin, Olive Leaf Capsules, Grapefruit Seed Extract, and Respir 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't forget Vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, sale priced at only $9. We also have a super winter special on 6 homeopathic liquid detoxes. Whole body detox, liver detox, kidney detox, lymph detox, brain detox, and lung detox. All liquid detoxes, regularly $26.95, are now just $20. HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on now and save big when you hit the winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Folks, Iran and the Mideast nuclear mess is already ballooning our gas prices. Whether you're struggling with food costs, which are being blown up by gas costs now, or know that when the Mideast showdown explodes, whatever food supply you have is all you'll get because of huge panic demand. eFoods Direct Family Packs are the answer. Now, the most affordable, best food is saving you up to 50% compared to other poor quality food companies. The new Alex Jones Quick Fix Family Packs save you so much money, the savings from eating this food will actually help you pay your other bills. No matter what effect the Mideast crisis or the crashing economy have, you'll have food as delicious tonight as 25 years from now. Order now for 50% savings and free shipping on these affordable family packs. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Welcome back to America Tonight. Of course, we've circled this day on the calendar for a very long time. March 6th, Super Tuesday, how big it is, all the delegates at stake, looking at Ohio. Could Ohio be any bigger? And the tug of war between Rick Santorum and Mitt Romney, and what happens ultimately to Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich. Very pleased to welcome to the show Tracy Davis, a Republican political strategist and former speechwriter for President George Bush. Tracy, thanks for popping on the air. We know it's a busy one, and we appreciate that time.
Oh, no problem. Glad to be here.
So, first of all, looking at Super Tuesday, this has been really a wild couple of months at the start of primary / caucus season. I was in New Hampshire, and prior to New Hampshire, I got to be honest with you, and maybe it's because of all the conversations that I was having, it was establishment, Mitt Romney, Mitt Romney, Mitt Romney, and I really thought that this was it. He nails it Super Tuesday, and open, shut, done, history. Now I'm not so certain. What do you think?
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, just the fact that Gingrich has come back. You know, we all knew he'd win Georgia, but he seemed, from that speech, completely fired up to keep going. And, you know, he does very well in the South. And just like we could tell from South Carolina, he can practically win a whole state in 5 minutes when he's on.
Yeah.
You know, just like when he did that attack to the media and he got all of that applause and really turned things around there. And he, you know, I don't think that he has a chance of winning the nomination, because I think no matter what, it will seem like he's a regional candidate, and I don't think he could possibly get enough delegates. But he keeps things interesting, and he would stay in. Ron Paul has no reason to leave, and Santorum's doing well so far tonight.
Yeah, no kidding. Is it a two-man race, though? Because you just said it about the regional thing with Gingrich. Do you think it is boiled down now to Santorum and Romney?
Well, not yet, because, I mean, I said that people could perceive it to be, you know, because even with next week, I think it's Alabama and Mississippi, even if he won those, it's just all in the South. But like when Gingrich gets his momentum, you just don't know what's going to happen. And and that's why Super Tuesday is so confusing this time. Usually, you know, somebody comes out that you think is definitely going to be the winner. And it just doesn't seem like, because this whole process has been so differently done. For one thing, having the proportional, you know, having so many states, mm-hmm. the states before April 1st be proportional. Mm-hmm. Has made it so that even when you lose a state, you get delegates. So
yeah.
That has made it tougher for just one person to emerge. And then also these super PACs.
Oh, yeah. And what a game changer the super PACs have been, because you just don't know how much money is going to be dumped into what direction. The four first.
To me, I really can't believe that the Supreme Court went for the super PACs. Because to me, it just seems so kind of anti-American that you know, you could get your huge advantage and win due to how much money you get in your super PAC.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was surprising. I mean, I don't care what your stripes are, Republican or Democrat. I think it was surprising to a lot of people that they went in that direction. But for now, we're living with it.
Right.
In looking at the campaign overall, the campaigns, the former First Lady, Barbara Bush, said the other day when she was endorsing Mitt Romney that this is the worst campaigning that she has ever seen, talking about the backbiting and the sniping and all that sort of stuff. But this has been around for a long time, hasn't it?
Absolutely. You know, you said Barbara Bush, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, I was, you know, I mean, I was the speechwriter for President Bush 41, so
yeah.
Her husband, and it was a nightmare. I mean, it was horrible, and the Clinton, you know, against Bush, there was, I don't know if it was said as much, but there was real, not only dislike and anger and frustration, and definitely just, and you know, when they, I mean, bozo doesn't sound so bad, but it really was vicious. And when Pat Buchanan first came in and pulled, you know, during the primary and embarrassed the president, you know, because he was president, and, you know, forced him sort of to go farther to the right. And then we got Ross Perot, who was in just as, you know, a revenge against Bush. That was a dirty, dirty campaign.
Yeah, I agree. It's easy to forget, though. When it's in your rearview mirror, it's easy to forget and say, well, that is the worst I've ever seen.
Well, it's so funny because now, you know, that Clinton and Bush are such good friends. And I think that's one of the things that's so great about American politics is that, you know, we move beyond these things instead of having the person killed or something. But it was really, really, really bad at the time.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, it wasn't a piece of cake with Clinton and Obama either.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely not. Were you there because you were a strategist and you were speechwriting, as you said, for the first Bush, 41. Were you there in the run for the reelection as Mary Matlin was running that campaign?
Yes. She really wasn't running it. I was actually sort of an equal to her. We were a second tier.
Mm.
I mean, she was a bigger deal in a different department. But I went from the speech writing, and then I went over there, and I was the director very briefly, luckily, because it was just way too big of a job. And I did have two children, and I was completely overwhelmed. As the director of communications, that was really short, just because it was just opening and everything. And then I went and I was the liaison between the advertising team and the White House, which was just, so you're involved with everybody. But,
oh.
But Teeter and Mosbacher, and Fred Malik were, you know, the figureheads or the heads. And then
right.
It was like Alix Glenn and Mary Matlin. And Mary Matlin was so in love with James Carville at the time, which nobody could understand. But that definitely affected the campaign as well.
Oh, you think there was a she was distracted?
Well, yeah, and there were some personal, the memos that go back and forth and the op-ed research that goes on and something happens in one campaign and the other campaign immediately reacts. And, you know, sometimes she kind of went overboard and she'd have to apologize. And I don't know. She was definitely distracted. It definitely affected her. It would be kind of hard to see how it possibly couldn't, since they got engaged, right? I mean, they got married right afterward.
Yeah.
absolutely on opposing sides. I don't know how they managed that. But Bush was really mad about the whole campaign. You know, he wasn't happy about it. But he, you know, and then there wasn't a Fox, and there weren't any conservative. I don't know if conservative radio was as big then. But,
right.
You know, the mainstream media really would. You'd go to an event with him, and I'd go, "Come on, Mr. President, we have to practice this." You know, just like going through things before the event, and it would go over great, and you'd watch it on TV that night. I swear, it would be like the other one took place in Mars or something, the way that
right.
they... So it was,
well, it was
a
portrayed.
Frustrating thing.
Yeah, no kidding. Did you like him? He's a likable guy, isn't he?
I loved him.
Yeah.
Oh, he was, you know, and that was what was so maddening, and that was what was it was what made it so heartbreaking. I mean, he cared so deeply, and he was so smart, and he knew exactly what was going on. And, you know, in a way, not as far as anything, you know, moderate or whatever that way, but Romney reminds me of him in one way, and that is that I think it's a New England thing. Like, you know, you're not really supposed to brag. You're not really supposed to use the word I. You're not, you know, like he had a hard time communicating too, in a way. And I think that Romney gets uncomfortable sometimes, and he gets really criticized for it. But when you look at somebody like Obama, who now that he's in campaign mode and can sing songs about Chicago, and, you know, but I mean, the whole time he was president, he was very aloof to the American people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It's there's nothing like being on the inside, is there?
No, it's really different when you're on the inside. You're right. You're right. It's wild. It's because you just see how completely different everything is than the way that we see it. You know, just even the way that the White House works and how decisions are made and certainly in campaigns. So yeah, I guess I was lucky.
You were lucky. What was the best speech that you ever wrote for him? That you ever wrote for President Bush? That you ever worked on?
Well, I mean, you know what we did a lot was, I don't think any of mine really stood out that much because what I would do, a lot of the speeches were divided up. They really were. They, even, you know, the State of the Union, and he kind of liked how I would try to portray his sense of humor, and I definitely wanted to write the lighter ones. So I wrote, I didn't do any heavy duty foreign policy except it didn't really matter because everything had to go through all the agencies. Like if anything had to do with, you know, the economy, it had to go through all of those agencies. And then if it had to do with, anything overseas, but I really did write the small, I was like the, not the weak link, but I was like a small fry in the team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I had a 4 and a 6 year old, and I was just so honored to be part of them and to be part of the speeches. But it was just funny because I would always, you know, we'd go over them and he would try and he'd laugh when he'd read some of the things I wrote. And I wrote very serious ones too, but he, and then he'd try to say it and I'd go, "Oh my God, you can't even say it right." But, you know, so I can't really think of one in particular. The
worst bunch
thing
of things.
Was that, my entire place got destroyed, and it got destroyed in a flood flash fire, and I lost all of the papers, all of my work on it. So that was really depressing.
Oh, no kidding. Well, you're a delight to have on the show. Will you come on with us again, Tracy?
I would. I was going to tell you that you're very blessed. You have the most amazing radio show. I've been looking it up today, and congratulations to you. And I would adore to come back. We didn't even talk about this, which was great. So
we'll,
I'll come back.
We'll do
anytime.
It again. We'll do it again. Tracy Davis, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Okay, take care. Thank you.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
These are strange days indeed, from economic turmoil to weather-related events, and yes, even power outages. Hi, everybody. Jason Lewis here. Let me tell you why I use WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com provides the most affordable and complete ready-made meals for emergency preparedness and outdoor use. Their entrees like pasta Alfredo, savory stroganoff, and apple cinnamon cereal carry a 25-year shelf life and are prepared in minutes simply by adding water. They even provide great-tasting a la carte items like freeze-dried fruits, vegetables, and desserts to ensure that you have more nutrition and energy when you need it most. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample and see for yourself why they are the best in the business. For a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's WiseFoodStorage.com or call 1-855-FOODWISE and be sure to mention the promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Be wise and be ready with WiseFoodStorage.com.
The 2012 Summer Olympic Games unfold in 5 months in London. The honor and the history of playing host goes back a long way. How long? That's next on Sports Shorts with me, the Sports Princess.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Stouffer's, helping bring your family together with wholesome dinner options, even on the busiest of nights. Find dinner table ideas to bring your family together at letsfixdinner.com. To get kids involved in dinner time conversation, ask specific questions, not broad ones. Instead of what happened today at school, try what was the best thing that happened today. The more specific you are, the more they'll have to say. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
Legend has it that the Olympics go back to Hercules, but let's leave Greek mythology out of it. The modern games opened in 1896. Since Athens couldn't afford to put them on, a businessman ponied up the coin. Pole vaulting, weightlifting, shot put, and swimming, few of the handful of events. Since those days, some of the original sports remain. Others come and go, depending on the whims of the International Olympic Committee. Australia, France, Germany, and China have hosted summer games, and this will be the third time for London. As for the winter games, the U.S. has hosted them 4 times since they started in 1924 in France, featuring sports like alpine cross-country skiing, figure skating, and such. Between the summer and the winter games, there are hundreds of sports and thousands of athletes. You never know what city is going to get a crack at hosting next. I'm the Sports Princess with Sports Short. Yeah, the question might be, how about the cities that are probably glad that they didn't get the bid when you think of how much money you go into debt? They're talking like billions something now for London. It's always much more than they project. And then will you ultimately sell the tickets? That's the key thing. And they do sell the tickets. I mean, people go and see it, but how much are the cost overruns? They can be crippling when they set these extravaganzas up. I'm iffy on the Olympics. Sometimes I really, really like the Olympics, and sometimes I get bored with it. I love the last Summer Olympics, and I like the last Winter Olympics. So I guess I'll be on board this time around because there's some pretty good storylines. Speaking of storylines, here in America Tonight, the storyline is what's happening with the Republicans. And Mitt Romney did take Ohio. He's got more than half the delegates on Super Tuesday. I said it was more like Super Frizzle Day or lack of sizzle day. There, to me, there was all this buildup, almost like we were in the middle of an earth-shattering reversal of fortunes. When I was flipping around and watching the mainstream, now you all have me saying this, the mainstream media. When I was watching like ABC and CBS and NBC, flipping around to hear what they had to say, they were breaking into coverage and all that kind of stuff. But Ohio was big for Romney anyway, because he had to win Ohio, and he's going to get the delegates. Now it's more a question of, do you think the Obama people are concerned about Romney, and is Romney a guy who's a little bit moderate enough to take anything away from Obama? And will conservatives really come out in droves for Mitt Romney? So the riddle might have changed a little bit, but the riddle is still hanging out there, my friends. Let's go to Rick in Illinois. Hey, Rick.
Hello, Kate.
Hello.
Yeah, he really did. He won, but he already lost.
Yep.
He already didn't win everything, so he's still up in the air. He can't get nobody to get behind him, really.
Well, he can get the establishment. I hate this word. Yeah. I hate even using it. He can. It's just like Obama. Obama, when he was, remember, it was Clinton and Obama. Eventually, yeah, narrowed down. And a lot of people liked Clinton. I mean, men included. It wasn't just, oh, only women like Clinton. So she had her detractors and she had the people that liked her. Enough people that she was significant, because remember, they wanted to get her delegates and they wanted Hillary on board and all that other sort of stuff. And it got really nasty between the Obama people and the Clinton people, because Clinton felt like it was hers until he suddenly came into the game. I mean, and you know the rest of the story. So.
Yeah.
And he was the establishment guy for the Democrats, if you want to call it establishment, because he was a breath of fresh air for them, knew how to speak, that kind of stuff, for the people who were running the campaigns, the Democratic National Party, the Democratic National Committee, which is just like the Republican National Committee. You know, Rick, they care about winning. They care about winning. It's like the line from the movie of the Ides of March. It's all about, that's what it's about. It's about winning. Don't tell me about the rest of it.
Well, a lot of these people don't really want them shoving it down his throat, so he can't get nobody, like I said, can't get the majority of people behind him, because this should have been over a long time ago.
It should have been over a long time ago, and if he was the establishment guy, then he should have been able to clear the board, and that is a problem,
He can't get ahead. The other guys ain't going to quit, so I think it's going to be right down to the wire for the all over. I think eventually he's going to win. They're going to see to it that he gets it all, but I don't think people's going to turn out and vote for him. Obama really don't like him and can't vote for him, so if I just stay home.
It's a stay-home vote day. Well, you know, people in this country don't vote anyway. Our voting numbers are low. If you think of how many people we have that are registered to vote that don't go out and vote, I mean, healthy, able-bodied people even. So the numbers are, the turnout's always a lot lower than expected.
Yeah, a lot of them don't like Romney, but a lot of them don't like Obama, so they won't bother to vote at all. So.
Yes, so it's a minus vote. Just sit on your hands. I'm just not going to do either. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's, what's his name? Old Rush. I guess he's already backtracking, ain't he?
Well, here's what happened. You know the story about the woman, the student at Georgetown, and what's now happened is because he's definitely not losing his radio show. He definitely has a ton of people that are listening to him. He definitely is that guy, whether you like him or not, that is the king of talk radio, because he's been in the game for almost 20 years and he's got all these affiliates. And even if some advertisers are dropping, it's not enough. I mean, Premier is still making plenty of money. He's like Howard Stern of a different version of politics style.
Well, I heard another radio station dropped him off, so.
Yeah.
I think enough people get up and get to call on the radio station to come and drop him, I think.
Really? I mean, that's. Actually, you opened up the door for a good question, Rick. Thanks for the call. Is this the end for Rush? I say no. Knowing the radio business, I say no. I'm telling you, I believe he gets the game. I believe that he got caught up in the whole thing, and he absolutely has strong opinions, and he was expressing those strong opinions, but didn't know so much about what her situation was. I mean, he knew what she said and knew what was happening there and all of that sort of stuff, but not more of the background. And then naturally that comes out, because that's how these controversies start anyway. Ooh, okay, listen to what he said. And then here's her deal. She's got his medical condition, blah, 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 blah. And then it takes off from there. The bottom line is it's just the outrage of the moment, and I think it goes away. I think it goes away, and Rush weathers it just like, that's why I said Howard Stern, just like Howard Stern did when he said a few things about some people like Selena. What he said about her and her death and all that craziness, that might have rocked the boat and got him suspended for a little bit, or Don Imus, and then he pops up on another network.
That's what I was thinking of, too, is Don Imus, and he left for a little bit, but...
Came back.
And that's the thing. Nothing will ever happen to Rush. He's too big.
Too big. He's too big to fall. He's not going to fall.
He's like a big bank.
He's too big to fail. Exactly. And he would tell you that. I mean, he gets it. From that perspective, people who don't know Rush Limbaugh, you hear it here on the radio, but he gets what it is. And you have to sell the soap, and you have to have affiliates. But he does. He does. And he's been around for a long time when really talk radio, conservative radio, news talk was there was people and there were psychologists and there was local, but he exploded with a lot of different sound. That's just the radio techniques that he used, and he's not going anywhere. I mean, Matt's exactly right. There are a few people that just will bounce back no matter what, and we named a couple of them right there. Things might change a little bit, but I don't think they change with Rush. Premier's already said that they're completely committed. They're backing him. They're saying that he got excited about what he was saying, and perhaps he chose the wrong way to express it or whatever, but he's apologized. So there's no threat. There's no cloud hanging over his head that he may end up getting in trouble for this, like losing the show. Anybody who thinks that doesn't realize the power of Rush Limbaugh, honestly. You can send me a note or two if you like on any of the things that we're talking about, including weighing in on Romney, who got his share of delegates on Super Tuesday, but still fails to excite the people. Maybe the establishment, but not the people.
Watch your language in front of the lady, punk!
That's an awful lot of money for the stupidest idea I've ever heard.